Well, let us turn in our Bibles now to God's Word. We're turning to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Let us listen carefully now to the reading of God's holy and infallible word. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy word. Well, today, it almost seems as if old-fashioned letter writing has become obsolete in this age of digital communication and having the immediacy of sending email or text messages or dialing up with Skype or FaceTime. All of these modern forms of communication, and yet it's still always exciting, isn't it, to get that special letter or card in the mail that has been handwritten and that comes from someone that you know and love, and it is meaningful. And how much more meaningful it is to know that in the pages of the scriptures of the New Testament, we have these apostolic letters, letters written to the church, and those letters bear the name of the Christians to whom they are sent. As we have read here, the opening verses of Galatians, it is Paul the Apostle's letter written to the church or the churches in Galatia. And you can go through all of his letters and see all of the various churches that were planted and established by the preaching of the gospel. And now the apostle is writing to them, writing these letters, and how meaningful they are. And this morning, we are going to look at kind of a part one of Paul's letters. And we are looking in a general way at some of the outstanding features or distinguishing characteristics of Paul's letters. Now, Peter's letters or John's letters, these other apostles, they too share some of these same, characteristics, but it's especially Paul who has a certain formulaic way of beginning his letters. And there is the greeting, and there is this note of thanksgiving, and there is also a note of prayer. And we're going to be looking at some of these various characteristics of Paul's letters. And this morning I've chosen Galatians to set before us the greeting of Paul's letter. Now, the church in Galatia was struggling because there was a fight or a contention for the gospel in Galatia. And because of the seriousness of the subject matter that Paul was warning them against departing and following after another gospel, a different gospel, a gospel that is no gospel at all, as he says there in verse 6, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. And I think it's because of the seriousness of this subject about which he writes to the churches in Galatia that the greeting here in verses 1 through 5 is one of the most expansive of Paul's greetings. Sometimes it's simply Paul, an apostle, to such and such a church, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it is that in verse 3 that really is central to all of his greetings. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I chose Galatians as an example today because of the expansiveness of this greeting. And Paul here makes more explicit what is perhaps implicit in the other forms of greeting that he brings to the other churches. To put it another way, here in the extra words that Paul supplies, he is providing the context for the greeting. He's providing the reason for the greeting. He's providing the basis for the greeting. And we, this morning, want to take a look at Paul's heavenly greetings. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. These are heavenly greetings. And they are meaningful and they are packed with significance. And it is this morning that we want to see that the greeting, rather than something that we should quickly rush past or simply relegate as a mere formality in Paul's letter writing. Instead, it is quite significant. It is a greeting from heaven itself, and it is about the gospel. We may say it this way: here in this little greeting in miniature form is the expansiveness of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as Paul brings his letter to the church. This greeting, we will see, is for us. Just as much as it was written to the churches in Galatia, all of the greetings of Paul's letters, and for as far as that goes, all of the New Testament epistles are equally for us as much as for those who were the first recipients. And there are three points that we're going to focus on to contrast our letter writing and our greetings with the way that Paul greets the churches. As I said, sometimes we may quickly bypass, overlook, rush past these greetings at the beginning of the letters. We're anxious to get to the heart. We're anxious to get to the meat of these Pauline letters. What is it that God wants to teach me in these letters? What is it that God has for me here in His Word? But do not overlook the way that these letters begin. And the first thing that we want to point out is that these greetings are sincere. These greetings are sincere and they are personal. And this stands in contrast to the way that we often think of greetings. When we fire off a letter, we may say, "Dear so-and-so," and that becomes just a convention. It's just a formality. It's something that we were taught. This is what you say when you begin a letter. Perhaps we don't even give it much thought. Are these people really dear to us, to whom we are writing? Or maybe you've had the experience where you greet someone, a stranger, as you're passing them, walking down the sidewalk or down in the heart of town, and you kind of meet eyes, and you might say, "Hey, what's happening? How are you doing? What's going on?" Well, you have no intention of standing and dialoguing and waiting to get a response to say that you want to know what's been going on and how they're doing. But it's a phrase that we throw out there. It doesn't have much significance or meaning behind it. But when Paul is writing to the churches, you see, the greeting that he brings is no mere formality. It's not a convention of letter writing. It is him announcing to God's people a word from the heavenly King and from God our Father. Notice how Paul identifies himself. He is Paul, an apostle. And he says here clearly, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. What is an apostle? An apostle is one who is sent. He's an ambassador. And Paul is letting the church know, he's letting us know that when he writes, when he speaks, he's not speaking of his own accord. He is a mouthpiece for those who have sent him. And he mentions God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice that when he says, I'm an apostle, not from men, not through man, he is reminding the church that he did not choose this job. It was Jesus who chose him. Remember the road to Damascus? Remember when Paul was going to persecute the Christians in Damascus, and Jesus, the risen Savior, confronted Paul, stopped him in his tracks? There on the spot, Paul was struck blind. And when his physical eyes were opened, as he was instructed to go to Ananias, that the Lord would tell him further what mission, what job, what role he would have, it was truly a conversion. It was Paul being turned around. He became a new man, a new creation. And Paul is reminding the church that his role as an apostle means that he speaks with the official authority of the one who sent him. And his word is not the word of man, it's the word of God. But he also identifies that through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, he is identifying the context in which he writes. What is that context? It's the context of redemption, isn't it? Paul is an apostle sent from the Lord Jesus, who is the one who died, he says, and the one who was raised from the dead. He is the one who has ascended into heaven. He is the one who is now sitting at the right hand of God the Father. And when you read in the greeting that this grace and peace is from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, it is reminding you that Jesus gets the name Lord because he has finished his work. Now, we know he's always been the Lord because he's the eternal Son of God. He is with the Father and with the Spirit, Lord with capital letters. He is Yahweh of the Old Testament. He is the eternal God. He is the Creator. But the title Lord in the New Testament is, remember, specifically pointing to the reality that Jesus, Peter says on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, was made to be the Lord and Christ. He was declared to be the Lord. He was declared to be the Christ in light of his resurrection from the dead. Remember in Philippians 2 that Jesus, we are told, was raised from the dead, and he was given the name that is above every name. And what is that name that is above every name? He is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the idea of his enthronement. It's the title that says he has finished his work, and therefore the greeting that is coming is so sincere, so genuine, so authentic, so personal, that it is given from the one who has given his life for you to rescue you and redeem you from your sinful estate. Do you see the privilege that it is to be greeted from the Lord? It is the church who is greeted. It is the saints. It is those who have been brought from spiritual death into spiritual life. And Paul also says it's from God the Father. Now, we speak of the fatherhood of God very easily. It is a familiar concept to us. But it was rare in the Old Testament to think of God as Father, and certainly not in the most personal way that is brought out in the New Testament. For example, in Romans 8, Paul, remember, says, we have been given the spirit of sonship, the spirit of adoption, and that spirit within us enables us to cry out, Abba, Father. And Jesus teaches the disciples the Lord's Prayer. What is new about the Lord's Prayer in the New Covenant? It is that closeness, the nearness, the intimacy of calling God, the true and living God, the Creator of heaven and earth, to call Him our Father who art in heaven. And so this is a reminder that we who are greeted by the Lord our God, we are greeted by God who has become our Father, and we have become His children because we have been ransomed from our sin and we have been brought into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ by His grace, and we have been given His peace. And we who were once enemies of God have been now reconciled to God through the blood of the cross. And so notice the sincerity. Notice how personal they are. And if you are in Christ, when you open the pages of Scripture, the Lord your God is greeting you. The Lord your God is speaking to you out of heaven, and He brings to you His Word. And so the Word of the Apostle is as much for us as it was for the saints in Galatia and the other churches in the New Testament time. But also, what do we see about these greetings? They are also timely. They are timely, they are fitting, they are suitable. They will never be outmoded. And again, this is in contrast to many of our greetings, right? When if I today were to stand at the back and as you pass by me, I say, Happy birthday. You would look at me strange because probably your birthday is not today. And if I give you the greeting, Happy birthday, when it's not your birthday, that greeting is outmoded. That greeting is inappropriate. That greeting no longer applies when your birthday has passed. And in the same way, we may see that the greetings that are brought to us in God's Word are always relevant. They're always timely. They are the very thing that we need each and every day. Now, that is an invitation, isn't it? When Paul writes to these churches, you can imagine being a member of this church. And then one day, here comes the messenger sent from the Apostle Paul. And what does he have? He has this letter. He has this letter from the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, being inspired by the Holy Spirit to write, not of his own accord, but to write exactly the very words of God for this congregation. How eager you would be. Oh, let us hear what Paul has to say, because we want to hear what the Lord has to say to us. And here it is, in our own day, in a day when everyone is looking for words that have meaning, words that have relevance, words that are true and trustworthy, words that are spoken and can never be taken back and will indeed bring with them the assurance that the promise given is the promise that will be kept. And here the Lord our God speaks to His church. He speaks to His people with words of grace and peace. Brothers and sisters, we never have a day in all of our lives that we do not need the grace and peace of the Lord our God. And that is what is announced to us as those who belong to Christ, as those who are citizens of a heavenly kingdom. We are constantly in need of the word of the gospel each and every day. We are in need of hearing that this life and the meaning and purpose of this very day has been determined by God our Father, and it is under the control of Jesus, our Lord and our King. And He is working in our lives, and He is working to show us that it is not our own efforts, it's not what we possess or what we can do on our own that will make this day fruitful and profitable and meaningful, but it is because we have been greeted by the King of Heaven, and we have been brought to Him, and we belong to Him body and soul, and His word of grace and peace is the word that we need in a world of sin and chaos and frustration, because it tells us that this world is not our final home, and this greeting is the reminder that we belong to that heavenly kingdom where God's grace abounds unto us and where His peace is the peace that passes all understanding, that it is able to guard our hearts and our minds even in a life where there are troubles and tribulations. It's what Jesus spoke to the disciples. My peace I give you. It's my peace, not as the world gives, give I unto you. It is the peace that belongs to His finished work, the peace that belongs to His heavenly kingdom. And just by way of thinking about the implications, how timely the greetings of God are. You see, it's that invitation to open up God's Word. It's the invitation to hear from God that announcement of His grace and peace, to be reminded that His Word is sufficient for us and for each and every day. It's a reminder that we conscientiously are being called to look vertically more than we look horizontally, to look vertically in that heavenly direction, and to look to the Lord our God who promises to be with us and to provide for our needs. Well, the greetings of Paul are the greetings of Christ and of God the Father. They are not only personal and sincere, they are not only timely and fitting and always suitable and relevant, but also they are, number three, effective. They are effective. They are powerful. And this is perhaps my favorite aspect of these greetings. If I say happy birthday to you, my well wishes are unable to make you happy on your birthday. If I say happy anniversary, my well wishes are unable to bring happiness to a couple who live in marital strife. If I say get well soon, my well wishes are unable to communicate good health when I bring them. But when Jesus and God the Father speak their greetings through the Apostle Paul, they are coming in the power of the Holy Spirit. They are coming to communicate and to convey exactly what they say. And when they say grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. The very words of God bring with them the power to communicate that grace and peace. It's why we speak of God's Word as being the primary means of grace. That is, God has chosen His Word to be the breathed out Word of God, that by the working of the Spirit, it not only informs, it not only educates, it not only brings knowledge and understanding, but it brings with it the very working of God's Spirit to impart in us a transformation, a change. You see, the grace is all about God's undeserved, unmerited favor and blessing, despite our demerits, despite our sin, despite our weakness. It is the grace of God that brings the blessing that has been secured by Jesus when He died on the cross and when He rose from the dead. And that grace belongs to the heavenly kingdom of Jesus Christ. In heaven, there will be no sin. There will be no temptation. There will be no more sorrow. There will be no more crying. There will be no more worry or anxiety or fear. In heaven, it is the realm of perfect grace, and it is the realm of perfect peace. It is the realm that is filled with the safety and the security of God's presence, where there is no danger, there is no threat, there is nothing to disturb, there is nothing in heaven that will bring anxiety or fear. And it is because the grace and peace of Christ are the grace and peace of that eternal and heavenly and glorious kingdom. Now, what is Paul saying when he says to the church, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ"? He is saying that God's kingdom has come. He is saying, by grace, you are a member of that kingdom. Already, you have been given the privilege of enjoying the very presence of God. It is God who has already ministered His peace unto you, so that you, through the sacrifice of Jesus, have your sins forgiven. And you who were enemies and far away from God are now brought near. And you are children who are in the family of God. And God, who is the judge of heaven and earth, loves you with an everlasting love in Christ. And He has become your Father. And so the grace and peace that are announced, you see, are the words that bring power. Power to continue to conform us to the likeness of Christ. It's the grace that we need from Jesus to be able to more and more die to sin and walk in His ways in obedience. It is the peace of God that is poured out in our hearts, that we may live in this turbulent world knowing that God is in control and that He is working all things together for our good. You see, that's why Paul in verse 6 says, "I'm alarmed, I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and turning to a different gospel." He is alarmed that they are turning from the only word that brings hope, that brings healing, that brings life. And they are relying and turning to a different word, a word that suggests that in addition to God's grace, we have something to add by way of our own works, by way of our own efforts. And here, Paul is guarding the gospel of grace from corruption. And he says, this grace of Christ this blessing and favor that have been offered to you, extended to you, by which you have been called out of the darkness of sin into the light of Christ. You see, this grace is the grace that gives life, sustains life, and that enables us each and every day to live no longer for the world and for ourselves, but for the Lord who saved us until He comes again. Now, in 1 Corinthians, in chapter 1, he speaks there of his thanksgiving for that grace. And again, it highlights that what Paul sees, what Paul rejoices in, is the grace of God that was given in Christ Jesus. And he goes on to say that in every way you were enriched in Him in all speech and knowledge. And he says that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of the Lord Jesus. And verse 8 of 1 Corinthians 1, he says, He will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that expansion on the grace tells us of the meaning. It's reminding us, this is about knowing God. This is about the privilege of communing with God. This is about the fellowship that we have been given. And it is about the faithfulness of our God who will guard and keep us to the very end. In ancient times, the king was considered to be the source of blessing and goodness, that the wealth of the king, the wealth of his kingdom, was to be used by a good king, not just to be hoarded for himself, but it was to be used for the benefit of his subjects. And that's the idea. You see, Paul is announcing to us that we belong to the kind of king who has given him his very life in our place, has been raised up so that we, by faith, might be raised up with Him, and that we might enjoy, as Paul says in Ephesians 1, that we have been blessed in heavenly places with every blessing in Jesus Christ. And that is what the grace and peace are all about. Well, when do you hear these greetings? You read them, you hear them when you read Paul's letters, but you also hear them at the beginning of each worship service. You hear the apostolic greeting. And it is because in the heritage of our church and in the heritage of the Christian church through the centuries, the blessing that is pronounced by the apostle is the blessing that the minister pronounces to the people of God. Because the minister, though not an apostle, is appointed, called, and ordained to be the spokesman for God, for Christ, in the pulpit, and to remind God's people as you come to worship, grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You have the privilege of gathering in the presence of God. You have a foretaste of your heavenly home, and you have here the ministry of God the Father and God the Son by the working of God's Spirit, so that you who have been greeted by the King, and as you come to worship Him, will know that your Lord and your God who loves you is with you. You see, you're here being reminded that the Lord our God abides with His people. And when you leave here today, you leave with the benediction. You leave again with the pronouncement of God's blessing. Because it is God who promises to bless you to uphold you, to sustain you to the very end of your journey until you reach your heavenly home. What is striking when you read through the greetings of Paul is that almost always he mentions the fact that he's an apostle. He wants the people, he wants us to know that what he's saying is not his word, but it's God's word. But also, he often uses the word servant. And when you get to Philemon, the very last book, not chronologically, but last in the canon, it's the last letter in the order of the New Testament that is written by Paul. And when he writes there, he only mentions himself as the prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Philemon, he's going to be writing to a man named Philemon about his runaway slave, Onesimus, who's become a Christian, and that he would receive Onesimus back, though he is low in the status of society, though he has no rights, though he could be punished because he ran away from his master. You see, Paul, what does he do? He identifies with Onesimus, even in the greeting. He says, "Who am I?" He doesn't say, "I'm the apostle, Philemon." He says, "I'm no better than a slave. I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ." And when he speaks in that way, and when he speaks of himself as a servant, do you see the work of God's greeting in his own heart? You see, he's reflecting Jesus, isn't he? He's reflecting the ministry of Jesus, who though he was rich in glory, though he's the king, he made himself low, and he became a servant for us so that we could be greeted by him in his grace and in his peace. And Paul shows us by example that the only response that is appropriate when you are greeted by the King of Kings is that by that grace and peace you give yourself to him to be his servant. May the Lord strengthen our faith, encourage our hearts, and may we never take for granted the greetings that come to us in his word. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the inestimable privilege of being greeted by Jesus and by God our Father, and to see that even Paul, who is sent by Jesus the Son and by God the Father, he is the example or the picture of the work of the Spirit who is sent forth and poured out upon the church to bring and to minister and to communicate effectively and powerfully all of the blessings that Christ has in store for us, that we would not be without all that we need to serve you day by day. And even as Paul speaks the very word of God by the inspiration of the Spirit, we pray for the working of your Spirit today here at Redeeming Grace. Lord, may your word go forth and not return void, but may it minister to our hearts today, that we may think long about the grace and peace that we have been given in Christ. And as we come to the Lord's table, this also is a means of grace whereby we are being fed and strengthened and nourished as we come with faith. And we ask, Lord, your blessing now. In Christ's name, amen.